Welcome to Factum Agri. Each week I talk with farmers and growers, industry, the science community and policymakers to hear their news and views on matters relevant to both our rural and our urban communities. This week on Factum Agri, I'm talking with Wendy Sullivan from NZ Landcare Trust to discuss the Farming with Native Biodiversity program. She joins me now. Hello, Wendy. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Angus. Thanks for having me.
Please, can you tell me a bit about the work that you do?
So I work for New Zealand Landcare Trust. I'm the Marlborough Catchments Coordinator. So I'm lucky enough to get to work with beef and sheep and dairy farmers, as well as vineyards and forestry industry. So I mainly support farmers and growers in their environmental projects. So that can be anything from running workshops, organising working bees, facilitating community meetings, or just, yeah, helping with all that dreaded paperwork that people end up having to do now. So I see myself as a connector. I connect people with hopefully the support they need to get on with their environmental actions.
Fantastic. Now, biodiversity is something I've looked at a lot on my show. Can you tell me about the Farming with Native Biodiversity program and how it all started?
Yes. Well, I'll start by quoting some figures. So 50% of New Zealand's land cover is pastoral farming, and that pastoral land contains a quarter of all remaining vegetation, native vegetation. And much of that habitat is habitat that's not protected by other means, so such as dockland, because it's mainly on our accessible lowlands, which has been used for farming and urban communities. So, you know, landowners have a really important role as being its guardian. The Farming with Native Biodiversity program was piloted from 2001 and went for a couple of years. And it aimed to make life easier for farmers to integrate existing native biodiversity into their farming systems so that they can protect the biodiversity that's on their land.
So what are the objectives of the program?
The main objective was for ecologists to be talking with farmers and develop and test meaningful resources that will assist landowners to integrate biodiversity on farm. So we wanted resources that were accessible and practical for farmers to use. There are quite a lot of resources out there, but sometimes hard to find and sometimes written by scientists for scientists. We just wanted it to be in a way that farmers could quickly read, understand and adapt. The program partnered with industry, so Silver Fern Farms and Fonterra's Living Water Program.
Okay.
And that made sure that it was being industry-led, so it had real meaning, I hope. And the resources are quite varied, from podcasts, templates and action plans, fact sheets and different bits of information. So quite accessible, and depending on your learning style, hopefully.
I think it's quite important to have farmer-led programs, isn't it? You know, in order to have farmers buy in and make real change or protect things in this case, it's important that they're on board, isn't it?
Absolutely. Farmers have to, you know, they own the land, they own the problem, so they've got to own the solution. And if it's not done with that in mind, it's just meaningless for them.
Are there any other objectives?
Farmers can go to the Farming for Native Biodiversity webpage, just Google biodiversity.nz. But do feel free to reach out to their local New Zealand Landcare Trust coordinator, because that's our job. We're here to help navigate all of those resources and find ones that are meaningful to each person.
For many farmers, it may appear overwhelming or expensive to get started. Well, how can farmers get started? Do they need a large area or large budget to make a start, or can farmers make a start at a more modest level?
But I'm not going to lie, it can be really expensive. So actions like fencing or setting up a trapping regime does cost money, and it takes time out of core work to do it. It is considerably cheaper to enhance biodiversity that you've already got than to start from scratch. So if you're in a lucky enough position to already have some kind of biodiversity on farm, then just by fencing it off for a start is the first step. Yeah, so I recommend that landowners start with a clear plan with your desired outcomes in mind, because what you want to achieve will dictate how you go about in achieving that and what your actions will be, and then break it down into manageable steps that you can do over time. And there's no harm in looking at a 5, 10, 20 year plan. Don't have to do everything in the first year. Mm. And then it's just a matter of picking off those actions as time and resources allow. And remember that each action in itself will have further action. So if you're planting, after you've planted your plant, for the next probably 2 years, you can need to spend time in making sure that it's not being choked by weeds and it's got its plant guards up and all the rest of it. So it might be better to stagger planting every 3 years, for example, so that you don't get overwhelmed. Mm. And it's really important that landowners feel comfortable in reaching out for help. And my experience is once agencies and organisations learn of potential biodiversity projects, people are more than willing to help, whether that be with assisting with working bees or providing free technical advice or helping with funding applications. People love supporting proactive people, so don't be shy in sharing your vision.
And I think you touched a little bit on this earlier. Is the project about reducing farmers' effective areas or adding value to areas that may not be very productive? And I ask this because I'm keen to get your views on why increased on-farm biodiversity is important.
I don't imagine anyone actually expects farmers to retire valuable productive land. It just doesn't make sense. But what farmers can do is assess what's not productive on farm and determine if there can be a biodiversity gain in taking further actions to enhance that area. And biodiversity on farm is important when we look at the farm being part of the wider landscape. So think of it, your farm, as a piece in the jigsaw puzzle, and it doesn't have to be big. I'm starting up a project here in South Marlborough, and we're calling it the South Marlborough Ecological Corridor Project.
Mm-hmm.
And that aims to increase ecological corridor. So the bit of context is that in Marlborough, and probably throughout a lot of parts of the country, is our native ecosystems across our rural land tend to be quite fragmented. So they're effectively islands, and that's preventing the migration of animals and plant dispersal. So if we can link these fragments with native corridors, we can increase the genetic and species diversity back into those fragments and increase their resilience to drought and fire and disease.
Mm.
And an ecological corridor doesn't have to be a huge tract of land. If you look at a stream that you're already fencing off, or even planting multi-species native hedgerows instead of our traditional monoculture of macrocarpa, is that we're providing a platform for plants and animals to move across the landscape.
Can increased biodiversity improve farmers' productivity?
Yeah, sure. There's lots of research that supports that. So the most obvious one is native vegetation, or any vegetation, provides shelter and shade to stock. And erosion control and retention of the topsoil is something we desperately need to improve in this country. So most regions now, I think, have a hill country erosion fund that helps fund farmers to plant gullies or even single species trees to help hold the hill in this topsoil.
Mm.
And that also helps reduce sedimentation into the streams. Mm. And increasing pollination and natural predator control, if you're a cropping farm, that you could use it to a way as making additional income. So planting kānuka or mānuka for honey production. And look, it brings joy. And so it must be improving our mental health, which has to be a good thing.
Absolutely. One of the things that keeps coming up for me when I talk to various people around biodiversity is measurable outcomes. Are you seeing any measurable outcomes of the work farmers have done as yet, or is a longer-term view required in terms of improved environmental outcomes?
I wish I could give you a glossy soundbite to say, yes, you know, you can have instant gratification, but the reality is it does depend, and it's going to depend on what your existing habitat is, what your desired environmental outcome is, and what your actions are. So some systems, some ecological systems and some species are more resilient to others and they'll bounce back a lot quicker. Improving stream health can be a reasonably quick win. The aquatic life will bounce back quite quickly once you fence out stock and reduce sedimentation nutrients going into the water, but obviously you might need input from your up and downstream neighbours. If you're planting to improve bird life, you might be able to start seeing improvements to the common bird species within a few years, but other species are going to require more mature habitat and more complexity in the system, so that's going to take time and it might depend on the nearby source population. So I guess we just have to be patient and take the long-term view.
Mm.
We're able to destroy nature at a much faster rate than we can rehabilitate it. Because nature is complex. If you go into a natural piece of forest, you'll see it's got heaps of different layers and structures, and the systems that are in place just take decades to develop. So we have to sort of allow nature to rehabilitate it at its own speed.
Mm.
But think of them as legacy projects and enjoy the small wins. So a farmer I visited the other day had reported seeing tui on his farm for the first time in 80 years. And for him, that was just a major outcome and highlight and sort of validation for why he was retiring land and putting it back into native vegetation.
Mm. And just on the farmer, what has engagement been like with farmers in general?
I've seen various levels of interest and engagement, so it's a mistake to put everyone in the same box. And there's a lot of regulatory change happening right now. So farmers are trying to navigate their way around that. And sometimes increasing biodiversity can be seen as a nice to do, as a must do, and I can empathise with that. But having said that, that farmers I work with, you know, they're interested and they're keen to participate at a level that they can manage. And farmers are curious people who enjoy understanding different systems on their farm. So whether that's stock health or stock genetics or soil health. So understanding ecosystem health is just a natural fit. You know, there's amazing work being done out there. And some people have been doing it for decades and other people just getting started. But I think once farmers take the first step, then they get excited and the momentum and the motivation continues to grow in time.
Thank you very, very much for your time today. I've enjoyed chatting.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks, Angus.
The project ran from October 2021 until June 2023. Currently, 50% of New Zealand's land cover is pastoral farming. And pastoral land contains one quarter of all remaining native vegetation. The project aimed to make it much easier for farmers to integrate existing native biodiversity into their farming systems and protect and enhance the biodiversity already existing on their land. The NZ Landcare Trust led this project with support from Living Water, Silver Fern Farms and the Bioheritage National Science Challenge. The Sustainable Food and Fibre Futures Fund, administered by the Ministry for Primary Industries, contributed 70% of the $1.4 million funding. The project evolved from Farming and Nature Conservation, a research project supported by the NZ Biological Heritage National Science Challenge. It was also known from the Biodiversity Assessments on Farm pilot carried out by Living Water on Fonterra Farms that the biggest barriers to farmers taking action were limited access to good advice and ecological expertise, as well as the cost of preparing farm biodiversity plans. Building on this information, the project aimed to have expertise and resources easily accessible to farmers and their advisors by the end of 2023. NZ Landcare Trust is really like Camp Mum when considering catchment groups. They are pioneers in this space, and I will be talking more with them. From my perspective, whilst it's generally accepted by farmers that improving water quality and increasing on-farm biodiversity has many benefits, it does come at a cost. And it was good to hear from Wendy that making a start at any level is a positive step. What is important in my mind is that all this work coincides with increased returns for farmers. We must also strive to do better in our international markets. We need a future where the conscious consumer pays more for our products than countries that cannot produce food as efficiently and as sustainably as we can here in New Zealand. That is the challenge for industry. There must be financial upside for our farmers in positioning ourselves as the best in the business. That's all from me this week. Thank you for listening and catch you next time.